It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday.
Sean and I would be horrible farmers.
Oh.
Sean and I were just talking about during the break. Our money is a lot. We make a lot more money during the football season.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, every March, it's because we're still getting paid in February for stuff we did in January.
Yeah.
Every March, we're like, hey, what the hell? What am I going to pay for college tuition with in this month?
It's bad.
So if you and I had like one big grain harvest a year, we'd be screwed. come November, you're like, wait, whoa,
Seth,
where's all this money that was there last time?
Ben, do not put a farm in the book of big business ideas for Payne and Pendergast. All right,
we can be a farm, but it's got to be more diversified.
Yeah,
we got to have like multiple. We can't just be like grain farm. Farmers, where you get your one big payday at the end of the season.
So yeah. True. Oh my God. Yeah. Seth and I are telling Seth during the break. I'm like, oh, we get our Texans game day pay and this check coming up. Oh, time to light those cigars with $100 bills. Let's go.
I was so pissed off last March at the pay cut that I should have seen coming 12 months prior.
Yeah, like work you weren't doing anymore.
That I totally knew was coming because it comes every year.
It is true,
man. Wait, whoa.
Yeah.
I call up Aaron, our
do everything.
Our woman who does everything for us. Yeah. Hey, Aaron.
Hey.
I'm not going to go into the HR portal. What the hell happened to my paycheck?
Where's my bag? Oh, man, I love football season. All right. Let's bring the mood down a little bit. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the entirety of the injury situation. This is a sobering one for the Houston Texans.
Just start off just the injury update. Stan Stover hurt his foot, so he'll miss some time. Really hate that. He's playing tough, physical, exactly how we want it done. So he'll miss some time, so we'll have to, upgrade our tight end room from that perspective. Andrews rolled his ankle, so he'll be day-to-day, see how that goes. Berrios and Kirk are doing well on their recovery. We'll see how they go this week. No timetable set right now for those guys.
So the only ones out of all the guys he just named, and I like that he didn't name Stingley in that, Seth, with the, he was asked about injuries in general, and he wasn't even asked. Like, D'Amico came into the press conference
and said. That was his opening statement.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. So he was unprompted. So I like that Stingley and there's at least nothing to the extent that he felt the need to inform us on it going on with Stingley and that hip. To me, and I think to you as well and to many people, it looked like it was affecting him in that game. We'll see. This will be a big injury report today because we'll see if the Stingley thing is lingering at all. We'll get some clarity, I think. For sure, we'll get at least a little bit of clarity on Berrios and Kirk, who didn't practice at all last week. So keep in mind, Kirk, if they're limited today, that's progress.
Yeah. Kirk, initially, I believe it was reported as, I think the team said 2 weeks at least. So I guess there's some room for maneuvering there. Is like, okay, do they mean he could be back in 2 weeks or is he going to be out at least two weeks? Berrios, a little bit of a mystery too. So one of those two guys could make a big difference. I think there were some times in the game where I think that both the rookie receivers, it wasn't quite as crisp or what you're going to get out of a veteran wide receiver, but they're going to keep using Higgins. They're going to keep developing him.
Yeah.
With the slot receiver, I think CJ's going to feel a lot more comfortable with Kirk out there than with Jalen Nolan. That's not a criticism of Jalen Nolan or anything. I've been saying since the day they drafted him, slot receiver is not a simple thing, especially in an offense like this. So that trust factor, that option in the quick game when there are blitzes or when protection breaks down, Kirk could be a huge advantage over what we saw last week, a huge improvement over what we saw last
week.
Man,
it would be nice to get him back. I'll take one of them back, but it would be nice to get both of them back. And if I had to choose, it would be Kirk that I would bring back.
I'd like to see Berrios out there as a returner.
That's true. Know? Yeah, for sure. The tight end position, the only one going on IR out of all these guys D'Amico just named is Cade Stover. So he's going to miss at least 4 games. It's a broken foot. They're calling Harrison Bryant up to the 53-man roster. They did yesterday off of the practice squad. So he comes right up and he replaces Cade Stover on the roster. Nick Caserio was on Texans All Access earlier this week and talked further about avenues to seek out help at the tight end position.
Fortunately, that's just part of football. So we're going through it. Other teams are going through it. So that was a strength going into the year. So we've lost some players that we felt were going to help us, but nothing we really do about it other than try to come up with a solution. We've talked about this, kind of have some of our depth off the roster, whether it's internally or if there's a player externally on another practice squad or under the roster or on the street that might be able to come in and give us some snaps. So we'll look at everything and try to do what we feel makes the most sense. Yep.
Nothing yet. Nothing yet off the street.
They went into last week with two tight ends. They played a whole lot of three wide receiver sets. That means you only have one tight end on the field in those situations. And you can look at that two ways. One is, okay, cool, so they're going to keep operating the same way. The other is like, wait, so they're going to keep operating the same way as last week when they didn't score a touchdown?
Yeah, right.
That's not what I want to hear or see. So I think that at the very least, I think they were comfortable going into the game last week with two tight ends. Harrison Bryant can block. You know, he's got limited upside as a receiver most likely unless they unlock something in his potential. But I feel like they could go into the game feeling like they can run their offense with Harrison Bryant in there. Beyond that, it's probably – I would imagine Nick's had a few phone calls about guys who are out there, and maybe we see something. Today's like a normal Wednesday. So if they traded for somebody and he actually was in the facility by today or tomorrow, then maybe you could see him get used. But there's not a whole lot of scuttlebutt out there about names or possibilities.
I've got two wishes as to possible solutions. One is somebody who I was bugging Nick about 2 years ago to draft because he was from Notre Dame. But Michael Mayer is with the Raiders, and he's a backup to Brock Bowers. Like, he's a second-round pick, but he's been kind of minimized because they – you know, Brock Bowers gets 100 catches a year now. So, float a fifth rounder and see if you can go bring in my guy Michael Mayer. Better late than never. The other one, Mike and Cy Fair espouses here on the text page. No real tight ends, 4 wides, run and shoot, LFG. Me and Mike and Cy Fair are on a crusade to have the 2025 Texans be an homage to the Warren Moon Oilers. 4 wides, spread them out, especially if you get the two little water bugs back in Berrios and Kirk, and let's go.
Yeah. This is what you need to know about 4 wide. Even the king of the air raid in the NFL, Cliff Kingsbury, does not use 4 wide all that often. It just makes it too predictable for defenses, and it just handcuffs the offense too much. But lining up, 4 wide, either with a running back or a tight end. Sure, you see that all the time.
No, that's not what I want. I want four wide receivers. When I say wide, I mean wide receivers. Yes.
I mean, there's elements of the run and shoot that are similar to what the Texans or a Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien, Nick Cayley type offense does now.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of option routes and everything. So, that's the run and shoot had a lot of, trickle-down effects into football in general.
Yep.
But I think the biggest thing is whether you're lined up with everybody all bunched up in the middle at condensed formations versus, hey, let's spread it out and let's just give CJ some... One thing that happens when you do that is it does make it easier for the quarterback to identify the blitzes. And so here's the risk-reward in that. When you spread everything out... You don't have as many blockers, so your options are limited if the defense does decide to blitz. What you do get, though, is if you see some of these simulated pressures where everybody's up at the line of scrimmage, a defense is really exposing themselves on the backside if that's what you're doing when all the receivers are out wide.
Yeah.
So they have to be a little bit more careful about that, and it all depends on, the particular team you're facing, how you feel about your quarterback's ability to handle it. But, spreading it out makes it easier for CJ to say, all right, well, there's only one guy who could blitz in this situation.
Yeah.
Makes it a lot simpler to set the protection.
You might like that.
And they had success doing that later in the game, so we might see more of that this next week.
Maybe so.
And also, if Ariante Ursary is barely going to slow a guy down anyway, what's the harm?
Yes. Let's just get it out fast, man. Yeah.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, since Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nico Ryans at his press conference earlier this week, it was brought up to him that Azeez Al-Shaair described himself as sort of the emotional regulator, I guess, of the defense. Here was D'Amico Ryans on the importance of Azeez Al-Shaair.
Azeez, he's matured so much as a leader for me, working with Azeez as a rookie in 2019 and where he is now. I see so much growth, so much leadership in him. I mean, you want somebody to talk to the team, he's the guy. So if it's the emotional regulator, he does that. He has a really great pulse of the locker room because of his connection with everyone. Like, Azeez is a guy, he can communicate with anyone very well. He can encourage you. He can give you some philosophy. He's a wise young man, and I'm happy to have him in our locker room where he can guide a lot of our players.
Okay, I got a follow-up question to this, Seth, to you, but I want to play one more from D'Amico, because the follow-up to D'Amico was, is there an emotional regulator like Azeez on the offensive side of the ball for the Texans?
It's a whole team, Cam. It's a whole team. I said the one guy that really stands out in that is Azeez, just for our entire team. I think from a standpoint, we have a lot of young guys, and Azeez is a guy who's seen it in different teams. He's been on different multiple teams. He knows how I operate. He knows what, you know, I expect more so than anyone on the team. So he's the guy that I think that our entire team can lean on.
This was what made this interesting to me, Seth, was sort of a dovetail off of the post-game show that Clint and I did on Sunday after the game, where you asked D'Amico who's the emotional regulator of the offense, and he doesn't come up with a name. It's Azeez is sort of the guy for the whole team. One of the things that Clint brought up as a concern, especially when talking about Nico only getting 5 targets, is like, who's the guy on defense, or on offense, I should say, that walks up to the coaches or walks up to the other guys on the team or says, hey, Nico only has 3 targets and we're in the end of the third quarter of this game. Like, who's the guy? Because Azeez is definitely that guy on the defense that grabs the defense by the lapel. They've got a few guys like that, I think. Who's that guy on offense for
there
this
was,
team?
The whole thing about Nico and the targets in that game was there were some really nice moments where Nico was open in that game. It kind of coincided with moments where the pass protection was breaking down or where there was a really good blitz dialed up or whatever it might be that... And then there were a couple times where I think CJ could have thrown it to Nico, but didn't for whatever reason. The one Dalton Schultz throw to the sideline early in the game, to the right sideline I think that was the one that he bobbled. I mean, it looked like Azeez was open down the middle of
Nico,
the field on that one.
Yeah.
Or Nico,
yeah.
Nico.
Yep.
Azeez was open too.
He was wide open.
Decision, but like by and large, after watching Nico, it's not like they couldn't get him open. It was kind of the circumstances of the game. And again, because when it's third and long, especially, that's when it's going to be tougher to get the ball to Nico for what you want him for.
Yeah.
I'm not as concerned as I was immediately after the game, but yeah, you don't want it to be a recurring event. I'm glad that he brought up Nico in general though, because I think that, immediately when you talk about, okay, emotional regulator on offense, the quarterback's got his role, and sometimes that guy is it, but usually more so it's not. Michael Irvin was a guy who was just famous for that, for being like the guy that did it everything the right way, was also like one of the biggest producers on the team, but that really just had a way of motivating his teammates and had that kind of personality. And I don't know if they have that guy on offense.
I don't either.
Right now.
And he had the trust from the coaches to be able to be that guy too. Like, he had a great relationship with Jimmy Johnson.
He's Jimmy Johnson's informant early in
his career. Well, I was gonna say, like, he had such trust with Jimmy Johnson, and they outlined this in the second episode of the Cowboys documentary. I've not finished it yet. I got a few more episodes. But yeah, literally Michael Irvin, who was a rookie in Tom Landry's last year, was a second-year guy in Jimmy Johnson's first year. So there's still all these old remnants of the old Cowboys in the locker room. Michael Irvin basically went to Jimmy Johnson and handed him a list and said, these are the guys that aren't all in on your way of doing things, Jimmy. And Jimmy found a way to get rid of all of those guys. And it worked.
Nick Chubb, Nick Chubb's a lead by example type of guy, I think, you know, and it's awesome to have him on. I've been really impressed with Nick Chubb and just his lack of ego. I mean, The other day, Sean, we were talking about Nick Chubb, and it just kind of hit me. I was like, man, we're talking about Nick freaking Chubb.
Yeah.
And it's almost like as if you'd say the same things about a Gumbawale or somebody, because he just seems to go out and work and want to play football. And he easily could have come in, I think, with a big ego, but that's not who he is. Everybody in Cleveland will tell you that. But he's also – he doesn't have that Michael Irvin type of personality or just that kind of
– No.
I mean, it's nice if you have a made man on the offensive line who is just an absolute head smasher, but also, you know, a good leader.
Yep.
And that, they just don't have that guy right now.
Nope,
yeah.
Nope. Maybe it evolves. Who knows? All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Our football talk in this segment – is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight is Sylvester Stallone, people. Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. All right, up next, I still think to this day, this is the biggest disconnect between fans and players in the NFL. This is the biggest disconnect. It was outlined by a now former player. We will let you hear that coming up next.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.